Welcome in to episode 115 of Caithness Craft Collective. Do you like my new music? I'm Louise and today I've got a blether with listen, what's a crack section, security cat, swap section, coming up, mum mum mum, me me, and the shoppy section. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Listen. Intransitive verb. Try to hear, to attend to. I've had cause to be the friend and family member that listens the past few weeks. Life's hard, isn't it? Well, sadly some of my friends and family have needed someone to listen to things that they've needed to get off their chests. Now, I'm not going into the where's or why's, and I'm not using their plight as material for the show, rather the fact of my situation being that I was one listening. I was in a few minds about this, the first being sadness that things happening caused them unhappiness or worry, the second being, well, tell me all your worries and a problem shared is a problem halved, the third being, I'm hoping I'm giving good advice, and the fourth being, well, I'm glad that they've got someone that they feel they can talk to, and that they're not bottling it up. Bottling it up can lead to much more serious situations and consequences of that happening can be much more painful. I really hope that any of my friends or family never feel that hopeless about this wonderful, scary, amazing life that we have. I often say to my bairns, listen, in that tone of voice. Of course, you lot on the bus are all sitting up straight now. And of course, bairns never listen to me. Even before I wrote this, Daisy asked if she could drink some of her apple juice. No, I said, not until dinner time. And I turned round when I was dishing up dinner. She drunk some. Consequences, children, consequences. We often hear things, but we don't listen to what's being said. All children know this one. And couples too. Anyone that's been to a dull lecture will know this. You were there. You saw the lips move. Wah, 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 wah. As Charlie Brown's teacher would say, but you've got no recollection of what was actually being said. It's easy. Now, apparently we have an attention span of 6 minutes in lectures, and the talker's job is to wake up the listeners at minute six, and by engaging them by some useful tidbit of information, not a gong or a siren, that has been done. Think of this tomorrow, you teachery types. The many, many conversations of, where are you going? Followed by, I'm going to Quilters, / Coast Guards, / Running, / Cookstool. I told you previously, remember? That happens in my house. Shows me that I'm not a very good listener when it comes to domestic matters. Then there are the times where you don't want to listen. The times you don't like the bad news. And knowing that you have to deal with the fallout of the event. Tenuous link time. For instance, my sewing machine. Yeah. It was zipping along quite nicely there, and there was a slight change in tempo in her sound. I think, something's not quite right here. Carry on regardless. Get to the end of what I'm doing and then study a bit harder. The bobbin thread ran out 7 inches ago. Or the horrible sound of your machine's not working right, and it makes that chunter, 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 chunter noise of the machine, and it needs some loving by a machine fixer. We don't like that sound whatsoever. Sometimes we don't listen to our own voices in our heads. I have one. I never seem to, as later on it goes, told you so, told you the bobbin needed filling, or the fire wouldn't light if you didn't say it properly. We are supposed to have voices in our heads and also our hearts. The heart is one with the secret desires and the dreams, and the heart often says yes, and then the head overrules it and says no. We are also told to listen to our bodies. For the plodder, the jogger, the runner, the serious athlete, if we get a bit sore and then our body tells us to rest, the heart says, but I want to run. The body screams, but I hurt. The head then gives in and says, Yes, you do. Let's rest you for a little while. And not to feel guilty for being off sick if you are never off sick. Yes, you know who you are for that one. This is extremely prevalent to all you crafters with RSI, or overdoing things crafty. Warning. This is the bit you have to listen to. Let's see, are we about 6 minutes by now? Oh, no. Bing! Are you listening? Especially Louise Scully. Well, do not overdo any one movement for more than 20 minutes at a time without stopping and having a wee stretch, or a stand up or sit down, or nod of your head, keep moving. We'll all be merry and bright. Repetitive strain injury is not to be taken lightly, as those with it will testify. Listen to that voice in your head when your body is screaming at you, I hurt, I'm melting! Paints herself green for Halloween. Our bodies will also tell us what food we're lacking in. If you've got a craving for sweet or salt or vegetables or fruit or even coal, your body's telling you that you are lacking in that. But you with a biscuit to your mouth? Yes, you. This is your heart going, yummy, yummy, yummy. You'll get a bigger tummy. But your head will thank you for putting it down and reaching for the red or green sweet paper. Or a couple of dates. They get over the sweet craving. We often listen but don't hear. I have a Ministry of Sound running CD in the car. Yeah, no, in the car. Well, car's on a run. It's a term in Scotland for going for a run in your car. And CD 3, number 16 is Reach Up, Papa's Got a Brand New Pig Bag by Perfecto All Stars. And I hear it as Lamb Chop! I like my lyrics better. We all have these songs, and sometimes when you read the real lyrics, you get quite disappointed. Lamb Chop is a much better lyric than Reach Up. We listen to podcasts to help us to learn and to enjoy our crafting more. Some podcasts are extremely technical and learning episodes, and some are just downright nonsense. Hiya, enter stage right me. Some, a bit of both. Whomever you listen to, or don't listen to, I thank you for listening to me. Listening is an art, and let's make that art with a capital A, baby. Now, if you need a pee stop, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle. We haven't heard it for a while, have we?
Hello,
section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now, and been with me forever, listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in, and I hope you are enjoying yourself. A Sandy hello to new group members, Bailey Crafter, SC Beach Chick, Knits to Stay Sane, GMB3TCD, Upstate Viv, and Ginger Genie. No, Gin Genie. Oh, I like you, Gin Genie. Random hellos to Elaine Who Loves Knots, Nanny Knitter, T. Jane, Whippy One, Alice Jeffcott, Crafty Duchess, I hope you're feeling good, Suff, and Tapophile.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? I was very generously gifted the new Stashbot app by the lovely Mel of With Mel Videocast. If you've not watched, go watch. This app was designed by Hannah Fettig and I believe her husband. This is a small app that gives you a wee quick estimation of yardage, or metres in my case, that you need to buy for knitted garments. You have the choice of, say, a vest, shrug, cropped sweater, three-quarter sleeve, average length sweater, long sweater tunic, hat, mittens, scarf, shawl, infinity cowl, and socks. Then the next line down is the sizing, such as the chest circumference or foot length. And then the next line down goes to stitches per inch or 10 centimetres. You can change between the imperial and the metric by clicking on the red inch or yard on that line if you have this app and you didn't realise, because I took me a while. At the bottom, it then comes up with the estimated requires yards or metres. I like this very much because I am very guilty of standing in a yarn shop and my brain imploding. Boom! And I might have gone in with an idea of what I wanted, but when I get there and the yarn fumes make me useless of decent decision making, especially when I'm talking to someone, And I tend to be when I'm in a yarn shop. So now I can go, well, I quite fancy making socks, but not have the pattern. I know my feet are 25 centimetres long. The ball band here says that stitches are per inch or 10 centimetres is X. And therefore I need, say, 300 metres of yarn. To me, this is a great wee ready reckoner. The cost in the UK of the app is £3, and I reckon it'll probably pay itself off next time I'm in a yarn shop. Oh, that'll be tomorrow. Haha, I'm going to Elizabeth's tomorrow. I know a lot of you already have this knowledge, but I really struggle with it, so, and I think I'm not alone in it. Speaking of Mel with Mel Videocast, I've been working with her for an upcoming project that you may like to be part of. If you're in any way an Outlander fan, clever listeners may guess what I'm doing, but you will have to go follow with Mel on her blog and her videocast to get the full unveil, which is going to be very soon. And you'll have to be very quick when she unveils it. So go check her out, as she's so smiley and lovely, and I could just pop her in my pocket. Oh, hold on. She's always in my pocket because she's my WhatsApp base bud on my iPhone, and that's always in my pocket. Sorry, Mel, it might be a bit dusty in there. Although, Nick from Yarns with the Plain Lovely Lady, she's not my hoovering listening podcast, that's always going to be you, or Friday Night Comedy, if Nick is working. I'm very selfish that way. Okay, I have a couple of new kids on the block podcasts to mention for you. I will admit I've not yet listened or watched, so please do and report back. I am behind with all things social media-ing, due to school holidays and listening to an audiobook. How dare I? So apologies if you're waiting on a message coming back from me, but here we go. This was taken from the groups on Ravelry. To use Fibre Adventures. Who are we and why are we podcasting? We are Kelly and Marsha. We came at yarn fibre from different directions, but we both love it. Marsha is an accomplished knitter learning to dye yarn. Kelly is a spinner who knits and weaves. Fibre is one of the many interests we share after over 30 years of friendship. Sometimes we post separately, sometimes we'll be together in conversation. One of us lives in Salinas, California, and the other in Seattle. Join us and listen to our podcast as two old friends share their interest in the fibre yards. And the Itchy Go Abroad podcast. Let's chat about knitting and travel. And one of them is by 100 Projects, and the other one's Sarah Toga Knitting's daughter. So I'd be quite interested to catch up with them. One's an audio and one's a video. So whilst I have got slightly better broadband, I will make a point of having a wee listen and a read. Hey Louise! Hey Ellen! Hey Jen! It's episode 115 and this is the Twin Set Design Dolls. We've been trapped with Louise for over a month now, and we've been waiting on good weather to get out and about to get our photos taken. We've had so much fun with Louise and her family. We went on a road trip to Oban. We got our photos taken there on the harbour front. Yeah, Ellen, sorry for knocking your head off then. It's okay, Jan. We experienced the tail end of Hurricane Gonzalez, so I'm sure that turbo gal Lisa had sewn a button on the top of my head to keep my hair on, even though it was gosh awful sore at the time. Hey, Ellen. Yes, Louise. Let's hug Jan. She's had a wee hard time the past few weeks, and although we're miles apart, we can get this hug to her voodoo doll style-y. Ready? Squeeze! Remember, Ellen, it has to be 20 seconds for it to work properly. Oh, Jan, I know you're uncomfortable by now, but remember, it only lets out the hug happy hormones after 20 seconds. It's a scientific fact. And there we go, Jan. Jan, let go. Hey, Ellen. Hey, Jan. Thanks. You are welcome. Listeners, that goes for any of you who've also had a bit of a hard time recently. Hey, Jan. Hey, Ellen. Did you know that we went down to Glasgow too with Louise? But as it was that windy that day, she didn't take us out in case we decided to fly away. Especially down the rest and be thankful. It was shut later that day due to the wind. However, I peeped out of the bag a couple of times. It's mighty pretty down there, even in the tail end of hurricanes. I like that Loch Lomond. Ellen, I think they pronounce it Loch Lomond. Louise gave me lessons when I was trapped in the car with her for 2 days driving. Oh, okay. Oh, thanks, Jan. I'll remember that. It's not Loch Lomond, it's Loch. Hey, Jen, I'm grateful she got us out into the late October sunshine to Harrow Harbour where she walks every day. Do you know, it was refurbished in 1978 and 1979 and then reopened by Jimmy Page. Hey, Ellen, Jimmy Page as in the Jimmy Page? Yes, Jen, the Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin fame. Hola, love. Wow, I didn't get to read that as she was too busy showing me the seals and the birds. But there was a grey heron there that day, too. So, Jen, we've had a great time here, and now we're getting cosied up into our travelling case and be recorded, delivered, down south to go for a travel with Louise Tilbrook. Thanks, Louise. You are more than welcome, ladies. Don't look like my sister. Yeah, my accent was pretty good there. It sounds nothing like their accents, but that's my American accent. Inner chimp. I was watching Russell Howard's Good News programme the other night and he interviewed Professor Steve Peters and he's a sports psychologist to the British Olympic team. Now he has a theory and a book about the inner monkey called the Chimp Paradox, the mind management programme to help you achieve success, confidence and happiness. And you can get it from Amazon. Actually, I know this because Richard's ordered it. We all know about the wee devil sitting on your shoulder. Well, he theorizes, I don't know if that's a word, it as a wee monkey. And I believe that you have to name your inner monkey or your chimp. I've not yet got a name for mine. I would normally choose George, but there's already a monkey called Curious George. And this chimp, it's the one that doesn't make you do the things you kind of know you should, i.e. the one that says, eat the chocolate biscuit. Don't go running. Sit and read the book. And don't go in vacuum. So I'd like to hear what your inner chimp name is. I've named Richard's. His is Mr. Chips Hobnob. Chips as in British chips that went with his fish supper the other night. And Hobnob as in the biscuits. As whilst Richard doesn't eat an awful lot of sweeties or much cake, he occasionally pigs out on chips. And he cannot resist a chocolate Hobnob. It's spelled N-O-B for all you Americans that are creasing their shells just now. It's a British brisket.
Scaredy cat, scaredy cat.
Scaredy cat. Oh, we're all about the animals, aren't we? I have a new wee section and I think my good chimp put this in. The bad chimp wants to take it out. And this is where Louise challenges herself, I'm talking about myself in the third person here, to do something that she's a bit scared of every episode. Now, the past fortnight, I joined the North Highland Harrier Running Club officially, paid my dues and everything, which was a bit of a, oh no, whoa, but it means I'm a bit more serious now, because I really want to get my personal best down for the 10k next year. Then on Thursday night, I went along to my first training night. On Tuesday nights, they do hill training, and Thursday nights, they do interval training, and I think they mix and match, but that's what they were doing this just now. An interval is where you go a distance faster, then slow down, and then faster, and then slow down. And this found me in the dark, running around the duck pond in Thurso 16 times. So it was four sets of four. Firstly, I was quite apprehensive of going running in the dark, as the last time I ran in the dark was after a bus and I was wearing high heels. I did know some of the Harriers, so it wasn't too bad for turning up. And the second thing I was worried about was, would I last the distance? I ended up doing 8.7 kilometres, and I did, so I was right proud of myself after. And then I made a phone call. So, that's me too up in the scaredy cat challenges for this episode. I don't know how many times I'm going to put this in, but it's good to challenge yourselves, and I hope you join me in this one. We can do it together!
Coming up, it's near.
Coming up. The Edinburgh Yarn Fest is the 14th, 15th of March 2015 in the Edinburgh Corn Exchange. And the class list has gone live and hopefully you've booked your place and hopefully you're booking your accommodation to go down. And hopefully some of you are going to come and meet me because I'm going to be in the Podcaster Lounge. I actually really want to sign up to one of these classes in Saturday morning too. I just haven't quite done it yet, so I'm hoping the ones I want is still available.
The grandma section.
Here is the mum section.
Hello, Louise. Nice to hear you again.
Thank you. So what have you been up to crafty-wise recently?
I've been making tartan bags, all different kinds of tartan.
There was Mackenzie, Gordon, Farquharson and MacLeod.
And got McLean cut.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got quite a few to make, but I'm busy at the moment making my duvet cover. And I've got it all laid out on the double bed out upstairs. And with it being a duvet cover, it gets washed quite a lot, so I have to overlock every seam. It was a jelly roll, and I've got 5 widths. I sewed them in lengths, and then I've cut them 10 by 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got sashings in between, toning in with the colour, and then I have little squares which I've got to cut. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many.
So it's patchwork?
Yes, it's patchwork, yes. And I'm enjoying that. I cut the squares, the blocks, quite some time ago, but I've picked it up mm-hmm. again, and I'm doing that.
See, when you've got loads and loads of little bits to cut, is there any tips or hints or suggestions you have for listeners who don't really particularly like doing it? But
not really, but you have to be so precise. That's the really good tip that everybody, every sewer knows. You've just got to be so precise. And I don't like doing more than a double
layer
cutting it, because the material could slip, or I'll just like doing it in twos.
Mm-hmm.
Or single if it's, bigger.
Yeah, having
material.
Like when you're talking about layers, it's when you put 2 pieces of material on top of each other and cut the seam shape out of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case you wonder.
Yeah. So I'm busy doing that. I'm downstairs, so my kitchen table, it's full with... I got my sewing machine back. It's mended. And I'm very happy. And the bulb's gone in me overlocker, so I'll have to buy a new bulb. But the days are still, bright and light, so I'm okay sewing there. And in the knitting, mm-hmm. I've picked up my jumper. I had knitted my cardigan, and this is from the Coronation Knits by Susan Crawford.
Book.
And it's quite a nice pattern, isn't it?
It is very uh-huh. nice.
It's...
What's the name of the pattern from the book?
The Princess Twinset Jumper.
Oh, just like Twinset Jan. You can wear... Who's the sassy shell and who's the demure cardigan?
And it's the Princess Twinset cardigan. The cardigan is knitted and was knitted and finished last year.
Yes, it was.
And I knitted an around from the rib up to the armholes with the jumper, and I put it by. But I've picked it up and I've finished the top, because it has the pattern at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I'm knitting the 2 sleeves together, and I'm 3/4 way through the sleeve. So
did you know that there's a knit along on go just now for some podcasters? They might have finished it by now, and it's called Whip Crack Away. So you're doing Calamity Jane. Slap that.
Yes. So that's UFO. That's another UFO. And I've got a list. I know I'll put, I don't know where the it stands on your list, but I said I would knit a jumper for Sandy.
Oh, so you did.
Yes.
He's forgotten, so it's okay.
All right. And I'm still knitting my lace shawl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite long, but I do want it long, because I'll, want it doubled and mm-hmm. bonny at the front.
It's like a stole type of shawl as opposed to a triangle shape, isn't it?
Yes,
and that's from the Harry Potter book that Spejo sent you.
Yes.
Charmed Knits Project something Harry Potter. I haven't got my glasses on, I can only see some of it.
Projects
Alison Hansom. Projects for fans of Harry Potter. What's the name of the pattern, Mummy?
Invisibility Shawl.
And the designer is Kerry Allman. And it's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice.
It is lovely. And that wool is absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. That's the stuff you got at the Dingwall Mart, yeah, isn't it?
It has silk in it and mm-hmm. it's just subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's grey with a subtle blue and a little bit of green.
Mm-hmm. It's Louise helped me choose that, not me. The other Louise. There's more than one of us.
So, and I've got I bought fabric in America.
You did.
So that's all got to be washed, and I'm waiting on a good sunny blowy day.
Can't help you with them. I don't remember them. Yeah.
So I've got to wash all of that, and after I finish my Dovey cover, I want to make a quillow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I've got a lovely pattern for
that's
that.
That's a quilt that turns into a pillow, listeners.
Yes.
I've not gone near mine.
A knee quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And you could fold it up, and it's got a pillowcase at the back type of thing, and you fold it up. You put it inside the pillow.
You need to use your hands for this, listener, right? Everybody put your hands up, especially you on the bus, and hold your hands apart, and then pretend you're putting the quilt inside the pillowcase.
At the back.
At the back of
well,
it.
Well, it's more of a cushion.
Yeah, it turns into a cushion cover.
And it turns into a cushion.
Stuff it in. Come on, in the corners. Right, you in the bus, you can put your hands down again. I like to think of them as soon. Oh, you in the train. Right, just take your coffee and carry on drinking.
Oh, I got a coffee from America. I have it a cup every morning. It's lovely. I love the
coffee.
From
From Shelley.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Ooh, Grandma likes coffee from America, people. That's terrible. I'll take that back. Right. Thank you very much, Mother.
You're welcome.
Bye bye.
Bye. You must have a lot of editing to do.
I do. It's terrible. I've got so much of you because you just talk so much nonsense.
Now, Mom has since finished her duvet top. Well, she's not actually. She's got it to the point of she needs to put bits on the side, but I've taken a photograph for you and I will put it on Flickr, and it is lovely. It's very elegant. And of course, because it was a jelly roll, it all corresponds beautifully. I was quite proud of my mum.
The swap section.
Swap. Now, I have been very remiss in not mentioning the lovely Perplexed, who sent me a box of fountain pens, ink and stationery after I mentioned fountain pens. So thank you very, very much, lovely lady. Also in that was the most beautiful list of cowls, which had beads in, and she said it was the first time she had done beads. And it was in a turquoise colour, which I then went off and bought loads of turquoise clothes. And I didn't think about it until a bit later on, because she said, I've just finished this. This is my first beaded project. I want you to have it. I was so touched. Show me the pattern. I can't remember. But she says, I'm really sorry, but I've not blocked it. And she included some soak. So I was quite delighted because it's the first time I've used soak and I really don't mind blocking things. So I blocked it out when I got home. And then I realised just how perfectly it went with the clothes I bought from L.L. Beans. And turquoise and teal. So it was stupendous. Oh, so the fountain pens. I've been using the pens, and whilst one of them I squished down the ink too far and it exploded. Well, the ink exploded, the pen's fine. And I don't care because it makes me look like Jo March from Little Women, only with turquoise blue fingers rather than black. Note to self, be careful what you say, you like, or your listeners take you literally. In that case, I'd quite like a TARDIS. One I can zip round in the world as quickly as I'd like to go to my friend's wedding in New Zealand and not have jet lag. That would be good, because I can't afford the plane fare just now. Anyone have a TARDIS? No? Okay. Like a real one? Not one that you're going to post to me. The calendar and stationery swap is about finished, so if you've not posted, please post. And talk to your swap partner, keep each other informed if things are not going to plan. Don't worry if you have a legitimate reason, of course. If you haven't posted and haven't told your sport partner, expect a message from me with the looking over the glasses look. But I know that there was a couple of you had a couple of problems. Don't worry if you have a talking to each other. I won't tell you off. Honest, I won't. Right. So the next swap, well, it's of course the Christmas tree decoration swap, or winter swap if you don't celebrate Christmas, but you want to join in anyway. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, please let us know so that we can buy or make relevant item. The criteria is a Christmas tree decoration that can be made or bought, but if you are buying one, please make it a really nice one, even handmade by someone else. 3 items of crafty holiday fun. I have a sign-up sheet on Ravelry, and please go sign up there by the 5th of November. Oh, that's today. And send out the swap by 15th of November. I thought it was the 15th, right. So, I'll have to go in there, and means everyone in the world has posted theirs and received theirs before the Christmas rush. And then we can put them on our trees the whole Christmas period. Oh, right, I'll have to do that. So, if you've not signed up and you want to join, be very, very quick. And if you've not, well, join in next year or the next swap.
Ding dong, ding dong. Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming. As today stands, we have in 2014, 8 and a bit weeks until the big day. Possibly. Because I wrote this last week, it might be different now. This episode, I will ponder over Christmas cards. Okay, crafty friends, we are going to have a cunning plan. A plan so cunning it will fool the wiliest of foxes, Blackadder. We want to post out your cards in plenty of time before the last posting date of before 25th December. Anyway, in the UK, ours is normally the 19th of December for Satan class stamps. I'm going to leave you all on foreign shores to work this out a bit for yourselves because my brain would explode. So say you have them posted out by the 10th of December. We need to write them and stamp them, and that generally takes a night, give or take one or two, with people that have moved that year and you can't find their mailing addresses and you're waiting on them getting back to you by Facebook. So, this is the date that we want them ready by, the 8th of December at a push. It's actually better to have them by the 1st, as come the 8th there are things happening that get in the way. And let's be really organised this year. You don't need to post them on the 1st, or even the 8th, but let's get them ready by then. Plan of action. Layout. First, how many cards do you want to send? And how many do you want to make? Then, if you want to make over 10, I suggest you go for something that can be easily mass-produced. Under 10, they can be much more intricate. I would recommend that you think about keeping your cards as flat as possible. If you go over 5mm thick, you are looking at a large stamp in the UK as opposed to the cheaper second class ones. However, if you're doing only a few stamps or have loads of money, then go for whatever you fancy. The thicker cards or the ones that have delicate things on them, you should consider boxes to send them in. And you can make these or buy them. And remember padded cards, they used to come in thin boxes. If you want to make over 10, then mass producing cards is easiest with a simple design. Consider if you want to use a rubber stamp or stickers or ready-made toppers. A topper is a wee design that's already made and put together just to be peeled off and stuck on your front of your card. For instance, you could get a square with a Christmas tree layered onto it and then the tree could have tinsel on top of it. You then stick that onto the card. These are really lovely, but again can be a bit more costly if you're making over 10 cards and also can be on the thicker variety over 5mm and cost more to post. Choose your colour scheme too. It generally tends to be red, green or white, then whites, lilacs and pale blues. But, do you know, just go for whatever you fancy. You can get away with anything as long as you put glitter on it. If you're a new card crafter, consider buying some plain card stock with envelopes. These are relatively inexpensive and come in various sizes and colours. If you're a bit more experienced and you have craft stash, then start using it up. Get out the guillotine and start cutting it up. Remember, you need envelopes too. Now, you could easy buy these, or you could make them using calendars with winter pictures on. Hello! Consider using your computer and printer for things. You could print out the inside of the cards totally, which means you don't have to write anything at all, including the label for the address on the envelope. Sometimes I put our I just put our names on the inside saying Happy Christmas from Louise, etc, etc. This is partly out of laziness, partly because I struggled writing for a long time because I cut the tendon in my right thumb when I was tidying away glass once, and it makes it hard for me to bend the thumb and write for long periods of time, neatly, or spelled correctly. So if you've ever had anything by me and think that there was a spider ran across the page and I should have been a doctor, then that's the reason. And partly because I can't remember spouses or middle children's names if we don't see the people that we are posting to the card to on a regular basis. You could even print out something for the front. Say you got the dog or the bairns dressed up and you printed it onto photo paper. Bit cheesy, but could be funny. You could paint something. A fun design is using your thumbprint, using paint or ink pad and putting one on top of the other for a snowman design, and then going back over it with a pen to add in the details. You could decoupage things from Christmas napkins. You get the napkins into layers and take off the very top design, and either using Mod Podge or thinned down PVA glue with water. I suggest you put it onto the card and then it's cut up to put onto your final card. And when this is dry, I suggest putting it under some heavy books to flatten it. You could rubber stamp them. There's hundreds and hundreds of Christmas themed stamps in all shapes and sizes. I suggest using a stays-on ink pad because as soon as it's stamped, it dries very quickly. And then you can stamp onto pretty much anything. It doesn't have to just be paper or card, such as acetate or leather or Fimo, and then adhere it to the card. Of course, we need the Christmas glitter. It's not Christmas without a bit of sparkle. You can go to town, or you can have just the odd compliment here and there. And you can have it free-flowing with glue where you've put it on, or you can buy the glitter glue, which works just as well. Having made my cards for most of the past 15 years, I suggest that you start now, as in the start of November. I do suggest that you only make for your immediate family if you're making intricate ones, as you then have to think of what happens to them afterwards. Most people chuck them, or hopefully recycle them. Some of us do keep them. I do this for two reasons. One being then I know who sent me a card last year, so I can keep up with this year. And the second reason being that I've got a great big paper punch in the shape of a luggage label, and I use this for on the fronts of the cards to make tags for the presents for next year. It's a way of recycling. Sometimes I've even used these as toppers on the front of my own cards, but then you have to kind of be careful who you send that one to. It's a bit cheeky sending back the one that you've been sent, doesn't it? Unless your person has a sense of humour, because it has been done. So, a few things for you to think about for Christmas cards. Next Christmassy section is about soap and candle making.
The beaker section. Me
section. Oh, my lush cardigan got even more demoralised this fortnight when I put the entire bag upstairs out the way. However, I did buy some 4.5mm nitpick tips from John Lewis in Glasgow. And I went into John Lewis. I had a list of things I needed to get, and none of them included nitpicks tips of needles because they had never sold them previously. And here's two of the assistants gleefully putting them out. And I just said, oh, excuse me. And I got my 4.5s. And they were like, oh, these are lovely. These are new in. We're just putting them out. And you'll never regret these. I said, oh, I've got the interchangeable set. However, I do find that the screw part here it's threaded, which is why I need to replace them. And one of the ladies, it was like it rained on her parade. And I thought, well, I'm just telling you the truth. And I says, you might have some people coming back to them because Nitpicks has a guarantee on their needles that they have to replace them. By this point in time, she had turned back to doing what she was doing. She was not interested in what I had to say. But the other lady was. And I says, but I do really like them, which is why I'm replacing these. I love holding them in my hands and the way they feel, and I love how pointy they are for doing lace work. And the nice lady went, oh yes, they are, they're lovely, I'm going to buy some of these too. And I said, well, I would recommend them. There's my wee Glasgow story. Right, so I finished one of the upstairs downstairs cowl by Paula Emmons Feasley. Hi Paula, of the Knitting Pipeline fame. It called for sport weight and it was 1¼ skeins of Quince and Company Chickadee. Now, I've got 4 of these in a peacock green, which is excellent because I want to make 2 cowls. And this one was for Valerie, who gifted me the box of tartan. And then there was one for Ayla, who gave me a bag of material, which matches the tartan. Not on purpose, it's just what she had and it happened to match. I gave Valerie the cowl on Monday and I set up her Etsy shop. Now, she currently has only one item in it to show her how to do it. But to encourage her, please do go visit her shop. It's a very easy address to remember when you're on Etsy. So the usual www.etsy.com/shop/, normally I would say Hidden Scrapped, but this time I'm going to say Valerie in Scotland. She's selling some of the treasures that she's collected over the years, such as a box of embroidered table linen from the 1940s through to the 80s, a small box of lace handkerchiefs, a drawstring evening bag that was made in the 40s by her aunt. And she's got a fair few things to sell, so go for it. She's not overpriced either, and plus she was delighted with the cowl. So she's trying to sell on her family treasures because she never threw pretty much anything away, and her house was immaculate. It's not like a hoarder, but she has all these treasured things. Some of it was crockery, some of it was linen, and hence I got a box of tartan. And she just wants to make space. So you never know what you'll find, and it is treasured because she said she has it written down that her father said that there's those that save string and those that throw string, and she's one that saves string. And I thought, oh, how lovely is that? I think I'm one of them too. So back to the cowl. She was quite delighted with it, and she was wearing it on Tuesday. And the yarn, the Quince and Company yarn, is lovely. It's a soft and matte colour, and it just, oh, it knits like a dream. I made the smaller of the three sizes that you get, and I used the DPNs on the cowl, and I was really happy with the way it went. I somehow went a wee bit wrong the first pattern round, as I had an extra stitch, but well, it added to the pattern in the end. I managed to knit this in the car too, so it's a great pattern. I love the way it's written row by row on a table, and it tells you exactly whereabouts and percentage-wise you are throughout. I also finished a hat this morning, actually. I sewed the pom-pom on. And it's the Mad Yarn that I bought in the knitting shop in Kennebunk in Maine. And this is the one with the pom-pom that comes with it to sew on it. It was a mainly blue ball of yarn, and I asked Sandy if he would like it. And he said yes, so he went off wearing it to school today. And I've got some photographs on Instagram and Flickr for it. And I used my DPNs, but in a bigger size than the previous, 5mm, I think. And I did a 4x4 rib all the way up. It was too big for me. It's too big for him, really. It looks like a tea cozy in his head. But his head will grow into it, and it keeps it nice and toasty. So I was quite delighted with that. I've been sewing like a demon on tartan bags. And just for a change, you know. And I've got some ancient Fraser back in and some ancient Macmillan. I'm just about to hit the shops this week. I'm just waiting on putting the drawstring channel in for it. I also need to buy some green fabric for the other tartans because they don't suit the stash that I have left. I've been working on a couple of wee pieces of embroidery to go into the journals to sell in the shop. One is a paisley sort of pattern and the other is a black spiral, and I haven't decided what the other one wants to be yet. So I've not finished them because I tidied them upstairs with the knitting one day and I forgot about them until just now. Look, squirrel point. On TV, I'm watching a couple of programmes worth of mention. One of them's called Peaky Blinders and this is series 2. And I believe you're getting it on Netflix, which is why I mention it. Series 2 isn't as fast a start as series 1, but it's got pretty going now. And I like it as a really good cast in it, even though plot not quite so good as last, but then it's still much better than loads of other things on TV. Pretty violent and racy, but it's good old British drama. It's set in the after-war period of Birmingham and it's gangsters. The second programme is on Channel 4 and is called Gogglebox. And I don't know if they have this in other countries. I hope they do, because it's a fascinating view on the social history of England. Now I'm going to say England because there are no viewers from the other countries of the UK as yet. They should have, Gogglebox producers. Okay, what is it? Well, it sounds a bit weird, but it's not. Honestly, it's not. It's filming families round the country watching the TV. Big programmes here just now are The X Factor and Doctor Who, and they show the families watching and reacting to the programmes, the news, the documentaries, mostly Channel 3 and 4 to be honest, because that's who does it, Channel 4. They've got a cross-section of society, from the posh ones in Sandwich in London, the gay couple in Brighton, the ethnic family somewhere else, and the pensioners in Liverpool, the nuclear families, 2.4 kids, somewhere else too. One of the families has a mother who sits and knits or sews when she's watching TV. I really like this because the rest of them don't seem to be allowed to do anything other than eat whilst watching TV. And there's a couple of ladies in London, and it's what takeout have they got this week? Mostly these days we sit with a device of some sort while watching TV. Plus, it never shies away from the hard-hitting news or documentaries, and you see the reactions to so-called normal punters in England. It's fascinating watching people watching TV. It really sounds lame, but if you watch the same programme as them, it's funny to see what other people's thoughts are. And also, you never have to watch X Factor because they go through it so thoroughly. And I really love it when they have politics on because one of them loves David Cameron and the rest hate him, and vice versa, so I find that interesting. And I really only mentioned it because to the lady crafting. She made a brown jumper the last series, and this time she's hand quilting a quilt. I was at Textile Artists on Tuesday and we had a wee production line of Christmas cards going on. Celia came in with some Christmas cards she'd bought, and they were kind of made of material cut and stuck and then hand embroidered. Ones looked like camels and kicks. There was sheep and palm trees and three kings, and they take up very little material and scraps can be used wisely here. So we were doing the ironing board, the bond web and loads of different materials and a stack of aperture cards. And these are the three-fold cards. Now, for those who are not sure what that is, think of a long strip of card about the length of your laptop, but not quite as tall. Then imagine it in three, folded, so that it's equal folds. The middle part of the card has a hole cut out of it, such as a circle or a square or even a church window. You put your piece of crafty work facing through the hole, and now the left-hand side folds back into the back of the crafty piece of work and it sticks it in place. So then you have, when you put it up, you have the right side to write the greeting onto and stand it up on the mantelpiece with the piece of craft facing out. Cross stitchers will know what I'm talking about. However, if you're Daisy or, well, Catherine, make sure you stick it the right way round. Thus started the usual conversation of who to give those special cards to, as not everyone appreciates handmade and sometimes they end up in the bin, as this has happened to some of the group. We all sighed and agreed it's shocking. Some of us know some of the work is cherished and kept because someone's time went into it. So then I suggested that we give these cards to each other, and we agreed that we better make a good show of it, and we all backseat Anne's Dove of Peace, even though she wasn't so keen on it. You know, it's the whole Dorothy loves my hair, and, well, I don't really like it. If we could only see ourselves as other people see us, as Rabbi Burns would say. I have no dramas this episode. I was going to, and I have bought the Tom and Tool 10-year-old specially because Knit1Geek2 Karen's mentioned me on a very special episode of hers where she was on a panel. And she mentioned my podcast. I was absolutely beside myself with, oh, thank you. And she said that I review whiskey on every single episode. And I hadn't actually bought any whiskey for that. So I have the Tom and Tool, but circumstances meant that we didn't get a chance to record. So please feel free to go buy some of this Tom and Tool 10-year-old single malt whiskey, and we'll do the drams with me next episode in a couple of weeks.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy section. The shop has stuff in it! Mum has made some bags. There's currently some Gordon and some Farquharson tartan project bags in it, and there's about to be very soon some Ancient Fraser and some Macmillan. So if you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah section. Wow, thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me. Yeah, turning off now, aren't you? My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I'm on Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as Caithness Craft. and you can access the Flickr photographs from Louise J 2010 on Flickr or via the Podbean website as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side. This music is new and it's from Avalon Rising with The Great Selkie, which is a song written from Orkney. And you can go buy this from www.musicalley.com. Thank you for listening. Keep on crafting. In Norway, there dwelt a maid. I knew my baby, she begins, saying, little know I, my baby's father, for of land or sea.
Swim in the fall.